Thanks very much for the welcome this evening. We were singing in that last hymn, the very first verse, it said this: God loved the world, though sinners lost, and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. Salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. The Apostle Paul, one of the great early Christian preachers, writing a letter to some friends in Rome, said this: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. The message of the Bible, the message that we present to you tonight, that Paul presented in Rome all these years ago, is the gospel of Christ, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Salvation, not a word that we use every day. What does it mean? Well, about a year ago today, you might remember that the focus of the world was on events that were taking place in the South American nation of Chile. 33 miners, you might remember, were trapped 5 miles from the entrance to a mine, 700 meters below ground. And for 69 days, they were there, stuck, trapped, underground. They were living in darkness. They were separated by 2,300 feet of rock from help on the surface. There was no hope, no way of digging through all that rock. And then, miraculously, as the focus of the world was on that mine, the little shaft was drilled. The little capsule came down. And one of the headlines at that time said this: Chile miners' salvation watched globally. Chile miners' salvation watched globally. What does it mean? It simply means to preserve from harm. It means to rescue out of danger. And that little event in Chile is just an example of salvation, but the message of the Bible, all about salvation, the power of God unto salvation, is much greater and much more important, for the danger that you and I are in is much greater. The possibility of rescue, much less. And the plan of salvation offered by God is much greater. And it is that salvation that we want to think about for a little time tonight. We find it in our Bible. If you turn to another letter that Paul the Apostle wrote, he says this concerning the Holy Scriptures, the Bible that we have in our hands. They make us wise, he said, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so it is in the Bible that we are going to learn about salvation, about the power of God unto salvation. And it is concerning the good news of Jesus Christ. And as our hymn says, God loved the world of sinners lost, and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. And if you have a Bible with you and you want to turn with me to the reading, it's in the book of Romans and the very first chapter of that letter. The letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to Christian friends in the then center of the world, Rome. And he is writing to to explain the gospel. He is writing to explain the method, the means of salvation, the power of God, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. We're just going to read a few verses, and we're breaking into his letter at verse 15. In verse 15, and Paul is writing about his desire to come to Rome. And he wants to come to Rome for a reason, and we read that in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. In particular, we're thinking on verse 16 and just part of that verse. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul's message, wherever he went, was the gospel of Christ, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, God's Son. And as Paul travelled around the then known world, telling the good news of Jesus Christ, it was accompanied by this, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, men and women and young people too. All over the world as this good news was presented, experienced the power of God in their lives that preserved them from danger, that gave them rescue by simply believing in the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to think briefly about this salvation tonight, and we're going to put it under three headings. We're going to think of the importance of salvation. We'll think of the urgency of salvation, and we're going to think about the availability of salvation. First of all then, we're going to think of its importance. The importance of salvation. What is the relevance of it for you and me today? The verse we're going to think about is found in the Bible in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3. And this is what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is it important? Well, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It is an important message for you and me. It is an important message. It is all about salvation. You might be asking, why is it important? What is the danger that I am in, that I need rescued from, that I need to be preserved from harm? How shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, if you read that verse in your Bible, you will see that it does not have a question mark at the end. There is no answer. There is no escape. This is a statement. We cannot escape if we neglect so great salvation. For you and me today, the matter of salvation is vitally important. For we also are in great danger. Just like these men, 33 men, 700 meters under the earth, we have no means of escape other than but through the salvation provided by God. So what is our danger? What is it from which we need to escape? Well, we read it together, didn't we? It was verse 18 of Romans in chapter 1. And he says there, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." What is our danger? What is the harm that we are in? What is it that we need to escape from? It is the wrath of God. And Paul says that the wrath of God will be revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You see, the God of heaven, the God of creation, is holy and righteous and pure and perfect and just. The God of heaven, the God who made and created each one of us, has set this standard for man and woman. The standard of God is holy, perfect, pure, just. But each and every one of us, without exception, have fallen short by our actions, by our words, by our thoughts, by our motives, by the things that we do that we shouldn't, by the things that we don't do that we should. Fallen short. The Bible makes that very clear. If we turned over just a few pages in Paul's letter and come to chapter 3, and at verse 23 he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No exceptions, no get-out clause. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may be thinking, but not me. I'm a good person. I do the best I can. I'm better than my neighbour. And that may very well be true, but the problem with this way of thinking is that you are considering the wrong standard. You are comparing yourself with the wrong person. You must compare yourself against the standards of God. Perfection, perfection, holiness, purity, 100% of the time. When you do this, the only possible conclusion is, as Paul states, there is none righteous. No, not one. As Paul says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so the Bible declares. And as you examine your own life, you will have to come to an agreement. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the standard of God. And this is a significant problem for every one of us, for it puts us at grave danger. For as we've read in chapter 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And if you turn over to chapter 6 of this book, and the last verse, you read this, the wages of sin is death. You see, the God of heaven, the one who has set the standard, has set the penalty, has set the punishment that will be demanded for all who fail to meet that standard. Sin, which is disobedience to his commands, which is neglect of his will, which is rebellion against him. The penalty has been set. It is inescapable. We cannot avoid it. It is separation from God and all that is good in a place of punishment and torment forever and ever and ever and ever. For 33 Chilean miners, 69 days must have seemed like an awful long time. But for men and women and young people who fall short of God's standards and face the judgment and wrath of God against sin and rebellion, the sentence is forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, God will hold us to account. God is not mocked, but there is a way of salvation. And that has been made known through the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a means of escape provided by God, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, and it's available to all that believe. Could there be a more important message for you tonight? A message that can change your life. A message that can change your relationship with God. A message that can change your eternal destiny. A message that can bring salvation. That can bring preservation from harm. That can bring rescue from danger. The message is vitally important. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape if we neglect, for there is no other hope. And so the message of salvation is important, but it is also urgent. This time our verse is found in the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, and in chapter 6 and verse 2. And he said there, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The matter is urgent. For these miners, for the first 17 days, the world up on the surface were not aware that they were alive. Food was running out. Hope was running out. The message was urgent. Salvation was desperate. They needed help from the surface. And you know, for you and I today, the message is vitally important, but it is vitally urgent. Are you conscious of your danger? Are you aware of your needs? That your sin will lead to destruction? And are you ready tonight to cry out to the Lord for salvation? Why is it urgent? Well, can I give you just two reasons to think about? Firstly, I want to quote to you the words of Isaac, one of the great characters in the opening pages of our Bible. As he came towards the end of his life, he said this, "I know not the day of my death. I know not the day of my death." And this statement can be repeated and can be applied and is appropriate to each and every one of us. I know not the day of my death. Death is inevitable. It is the consequence of sin. Some time ago in Perth, there were billboards that stated this, the ultimate statistic, 10 out of 10 people die. 10 out of 10 people die. What is important? What is vital? What is urgent? Is as the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. And one of the New Testament writers put it like this, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is urgent that you are prepared to meet your God. As Paul preached in Rome the gospel of Christ, as he told of the power of God unto salvation. The same gospel is preached today, but salvation is offered only in life. After death, there is only judgment. After death, there is no opportunity to reconsider. Only a time to be held in account for sins that have been done. Therefore, the apostle says, behold, now is the day of salvation. I know not the day of my death. For any one of us, this could be the last day here on earth. And then it's too late. Salvation is lost. And all we have to face is judgment. The second reason I give to you as to why the message is urgent is the words spoken by the Lord Jesus. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Salvation is urgent. The offer from heaven is time limited. The opportunity to have the problem of sin dealt with. The opportunity to prepare to meet your God, the opportunity of salvation, has an end date. I will come again. It is an event that Christians wait for, that Christians anticipate, that Christians hope for. The coming again of the Lord Jesus. He said before he returned to heaven, if I go, and he did. Disciples stood on the Mount of Olives and watched as he ascended from their midst and was received into heaven. If I go, and he has gone, I will come again. Make no mistake, the Lord Jesus has promised and he will fulfill his promise. He is coming again. Coming to take his people, the church, the Christians, to heaven. And then, the wrath of God will be poured out upon planet Earth. Are you ready for his coming? It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. We know not when he is coming, we only know that he has said, I am come, I will come again. He said it 2,000 years ago, and therefore it must be so much closer today. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, we have the only alternative to salvation, a certain, fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And so salvation is important. We are in grave danger. Our sin has put us in a position of judgment, for God will hold us to account. Salvation is urgent. It is not something that can be put off. It is not something that can be considered and studied for years. For it is time limited. And we know not when that time will stop. I know not the day of my death. I will come again. But as we come to the close of our service, we're going to think of the good news of Jesus Christ. And what we have done so far is painted in the black, black background, the danger that we are all in, the wrath and anger of God against sin. We want to tell you that this subject of salvation, this opportunity of preservation, is available. Available today. Available at no cost. Available to all. This time, we're going to look at a verse in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. This time it is Peter, and he is preaching in Jerusalem. And he says this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. Salvation is available. But there is only one way of salvation. For these Chilean miners, the only way of escape was stepping into that little capsule and be taken up through all these hundreds of meters of rock. There was no other means out of that underground cave. And if we are to be saved, if we are to know salvation, the power of God in our lives rescuing us from the danger we are in, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation comes through the gospel. Paul tells us at the very beginning of his letter to these Roman Christians that the message is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. The message that comes with the power of God. The message that offers salvation, forgiveness of sin, preservation from coming judgment is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There is only one way. The Lord Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when Paul was writing to his friend Timothy, he said this: there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. There is only one way. God's way of salvation has been made available for us. He has done it all. He has provided the means of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape. There is only one way. God's way of salvation is amazing. It is wonderful. It is beyond our understanding. For to provide a means of escape for men and women who have dared to rebel against him and have failed to live up to the standards that he has set, God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior. Again, if we turned over a few pages in this letter, we would read this: but God, commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were beyond hope, when we were helpless, God intervened to provide a way of salvation. And this he did by sending his one and only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only sending him into the world, but sending him to the cross at Calvary. He came into the world for the reason he came to die. He came to be the Savior, to die for sin, to take the sinner's place, your place and mine. And as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to that cross at Calvary outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, he suffered, he bled, he died, bearing in his own body the judgment due for sin. God in heaven poured out his wrath and his anger against your sin and against my sin upon his own Son. The hymn writer said, we sing the hymn at Easter time a lot, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. The punishment, the penalty due for sin has been paid in full. And as a result, a means of salvation has been provided. God is satisfied, for the penalty for sin has been met. His Son bore the punishment due to us. And now it is offered to you and to me today to accept God's means of salvation. It said in our verse, to every one that believeth. Salvation is offered, the way has been provided, but God will never force you to accept that which you do not want. God will never force you along the way of salvation. The opportunity is yours to make a decision, to decide for yourself, to believe in the Lord Jesus, to accept the salvation offered. Again, these Tyrian miners, they had the option. They were in grave danger. But they had to make the choice to step into that little capsule. They didn't have to go. They could have chosen to stay where they were. They had to make that choice to step into the capsule, and so it is for you and I. We are in grave danger. The way of salvation has been provided. It is available to all. It is free of charge. We simply have to believe, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God unto salvation will be seen in our life. The only option is to face the wrath of God, to stand before the judge of all the earth, held accountable for our own sin. What will you do? As we near the end of the book of Romans, Paul says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a promise from God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That is you and me and everyone else. Calls upon the name of the Lord. It's that simple. It's simply believing. It's simply trusting. It's simply calling on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not perhaps. Not probably. Not, well, we'll wait and see. It shall be saved. And so we finish our service. I do ask you to remember that little verse, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And as you think of salvation, remember it is important. Remember it is urgent. And remember it is available today. The time is gone, so we'll dispense with the singing of a closing hymn, but we will just take a moment to close in prayer, and then our service is over. Shall we just pray? Our Father, Thou who art the great God, Thou who art the Creator of all things, how we thank Thee for the wonderful subject and message that we have been considering together, that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, our God, we thank Thee that the message is so simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank Thee for opportunity. We thank Thee for the privilege and the quietness and in the comfort of this hall, of sharing the message with those who have gathered. And we pray, our God, Thy blessing upon each one. We think of the many in this town this evening, going about their business with no thought of God, no understanding of the danger they are in. How we pray, our God, that the power of God unto salvation may be felt and may move even in this part of the nation. And we pray, our God, Thy blessing on us now as we part. In Jesus' name, Amen.